Good evening. This is Mike Wallace from Elvian College. We're thrilled to have you joining us tonight. We're dialing 17,000 numbers right now, so it'll take just a few minutes for us to get everybody connected. I'll go over just a little bit of housekeeping. We're calling from the president's office on the second floor of Ferguson. I'm joined by President Ditzler. How are you this evening?
You know, I'm just fine. Looking out the window at the chapel of, or the steeple of Goodrich Chapel, that little red light blinking on top that all of you have seen so often. It's a hallmark on our campus, and I get to see it here from the corner office.
Perfect, perfect. Steve Klein, Vice President of Enrollment Management, is with us. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks, Mike.
Awesome. And Matt Aaron, Director of Athletics, is here too. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing terrific.
Perfect. So just so everybody knows, if you have a question during the call, pressing zero is like raising your hand, and we're going to try to get to as many questions as we can tonight. We have a lot of exciting updates, but we'll try to answer as many questions as possible. For those of you just joining us, my name is Mike Wallace from Elvian College, and again, we're thrilled to have all of you are picking up the phones right now as we dial about 17,000 numbers. We're about halfway through the dialing, and so it should be just another minute before we can get rolling here. Calling from the president's office with President Ditzler, Steve Klein, Vice President of Enrollment Management, and Matt Aaron, the Director of Athletics. For those of you just joining us, if you have a question during the call, go ahead and press zero. It's a lot like raising your hand in class, and we'll do our best to get as many of the questions you call in with answered during the call. If anybody gets disconnected and they'd like to call back in, the toll-free number is 844-857-2169. Again, that number is 844-857-2169. So we have folks from all over the country joining us. We're nearly there with the 17,000 numbers. For those of you joining us now, this is Mike Wallace from Elbion, and we're just delighted to have all of you spending some of your evening with us to hear some exciting updates from the college. President Ditzler, anything from your day that stands out?
You know, it was fun to walk around campus. This is almost the end of the semester, so particularly our first-year students are looking forward with some nervousness to that first round of final exams, and then probably anxious to get home and tell Mom and Dad about the things they learned.
Awesome. So we are just wrapping up the dialing. For those of you joining us now, this is Mike Wallace from Elbion College. We're delighted that you're joining us this evening and spending a little bit of your time to hear some of the exciting things going on campus. We're calling from the president's office that many of you will remember is in Ferguson Hall looking over the quad. President Ditzler is here, Steve Klein, the Vice President for Enrollment Management, is here, and Matt Aaron is here, the Director of Athletics. A few last-minute housekeeping things before we get started. If you have a question during the call, go ahead and press zero. It's just like raising your hand in class, and we'll get as many of those questions answered during the call as we can. And if you get disconnected during the call, dial 844-857-2169 to get reconnected. We're good?
Well, you know, I've had a chance over the last 18 months to talk to many of you. Tonight, I get to talk to you all at once. It's not lost to me that today is National Giving Tuesday. So before we get started with questions and answers, I want to thank all of our graduates and friends who took time today to go online and support our fine institution. We've already received more gifts today on Giving Tuesday than we did all day last year on this date, and we still got 4 hours to go. If you haven't had a chance, after the phone call, go to the website at albion.edu, and you'll find a button to click to give us a gift. Certainly, it's an exciting time in our history. We recently welcomed to campus our largest class in a very long time. We continue to surpass our fundraising goals, and we have many construction projects ready to break ground. Britain Pride is breaking out all over the place. I feel the energy every day, both on our campus and in our host community. Let's talk more about that newest class of ours. It's really a grand class in lots of ways. Steve Klein, Vice President of Enrollment Management, could you explain how we brought in this great group of students?
Sure, and thanks, Maury. We certainly do have a wonderful group of first years on campus. We attracted students from 20 states and 8 different countries. That makes our class 78% in Michigan, 22% out of state. You compare that to our traditional 90-plus percent of in-state students. How did we do it? There are many reasons, but one that stands out is the implementation of a new alumni referral program, and I know many of you out there on this call participated. Our alumni referred about 150, about a third of the students who are now on campus as first-year students. And we can't thank you enough for having such a direct impact on the success of the college. With that said, I'm asked around campus, what have I done lately? And so we'll continue to need all of our alumni to continue to refer students to us. It's a simple process and can be done at albion.edu/referral. These students who are referred are also given a $1,000 scholarship for each year at the college. Another reason we were able to expand our first-year class was more involvement in territories beyond out of state. We added to our staff and went into some states and markets that historically we have not spent much time in, as well as bringing back our program of international recruiting, and that really made a difference. And that's where most of our growth was. If you look at the class, 450, that extra 100 all came from out of state and international. Looking forward to our next class, the early indicators are very encouraging. We've hosted more students and families for visit programs this year over last, up about 20%, and our applications for admission are up about 12% this week. So I'm very encouraged, and again, thank all of you alumni who have helped in this effort and look for more of you to get involved in the months ahead.
Thanks, Steve. Let's switch gears and talk about where we put all those students. I know as campus grows back to some of the levels we saw 10, 15 years ago, we're going to need to open up some of those dormitories. Michigan, like so many parts of our country, was hit hard during the economic downturn and made it difficult for families to send their children to our private institution. And so for a time, we had to close some of our dormitories down. We were really excited last year when we reopened Seton Hall, when we had the surge in enrollment. As we look to next year, we're going to get busy and open the last of our mothballed dormitories, Munger Place. Some of you remember that as the Parker Hotel. We took possession of that quite a number of years ago and turned it into student apartments. We haven't used those for the last couple of years, but we got a really generous gift from Gary Noble, class of 57, and his wife Peggy Noble. They had a vision, they joined us in a vision of reopening that that dormitory, that living unit, as kind of a living learning community where students of common interest would live together. Artists would live on a floor and have studios, and students studying for graduate school entrance exams would live on another floor. Really an interesting approach to living and learning on our campus. So that's going to be one of our projects that we'll work on this summer. We've also got some projects that are on what we call the main street of Albion. Remember Superior Street, the brick street that runs close to campus. And as our city struggled as an industrial city in a post-industrial world, we lost some businesses. We lost quite a lot of businesses along Main Street. And so we're partnering with the city and some private developers to bring business and bring hotels and restaurants back to our town. This spring, we're going to break ground on a new 72-room hotel on a plot of land on Superior Street, Clinton, Porter, and West Center Streets, really just across the street from the Bohm. It's an $8.4 million project. It's going to have one of the well-known hotel franchises this country. It's being built in partnership with Saginaw Bay Shaheen Development, headed by Dr. Sam Shaheen, class of 1988. Just down the street from that, there's a 20,000 square foot of storefront property that the college is going to purchase. It's have it renovated. We're going to move a number of our programs down there to keep our students and ourselves focused on the importance of rebuilding these cities like Albion that are at the heart of America. We're going to move our Ford Institute and our Gerstacker Institute and a number of other programs that interact with the small town that we live in. And we're going to move those down to Superior Street, put them in the storefront, and make sure that our students interact with this host community. kind of a related project, the Held Equestrian Center. Some of you are familiar with that facility. We're going to renovate it. We're going to update it. We're going to expand it so that it not only is a better service for our students, but that it can be on the national circuit of horse shows. And so we can attract shows to this community and help rebuild some economic vitality by attracting individuals to this community. You know, if we move on, we've got plans to update our outdoor athletic fields. Matt Arendt, athletic director, tell us about what we got going there.
Thanks, Maury. We're very excited about the prospects of breaking ground on the Davis Athletic Complex this spring. It's a project that we've been dreaming about, planning for, thinking about, fundraising for since 2011. So to be nearing the finish line on this project is very exciting. Obviously, we are very thankful to all the donors that have given towards the project, in particular longtime Albion residents Bud and Olivia Davis, who the complex will be named after. It's the generous giving of all of our donors and alums that are making this project possible. This project's going to include brand new baseball stadium, softball stadium, a brand new soccer lacrosse field that'll have field turf lights. You know, this will go and cover scoreboards and brand new seating grandstands. And a brand new plaza over there. This will be a first-rate group of athletic facilities that will greatly benefit our student athletes. You know, facilities don't win championships, but they certainly help bring the right group of people in that'll help you accomplish those things. So we're very excited about that. In addition, we're also going to be putting down a new floor over winter break in the Dow Fieldhouse. We're very excited about that project. We'll be wrapping that up before the students come back in the winter. And, you know, we've had a great fall. We won our 36th MIAA football championship. It's our third one in 5 years. We had a great performance out of Jessica Shaw on the cross-country side. She finished 52nd at the national championships, and it's the best finish ever. From a women runner from Albion. So we're very excited about the momentum we've got from the fall as we head into the winter and the spring. We wrap up this week with our third annual Winter Carnival. It's a big, important element that we have within our athletic department to give back to the community. And the Winter Carnival is a free event that our student athletes are able to give back and provide a free opportunity for the local youth to participate in games, make some gifts for mom and dad, and just have a great experience to kick off the holiday season. So we're excited about the things going on in athletics, and obviously we're very excited about the opportunity to break ground on the Davis Athletic Complex in the spring.
Thanks so much, Matt. For the last 2 years at the NCAA National Convention, our athletes have gotten an award for their community service. Hope we get a third one this year. I think it's time for some questions now. What do we have here?
Yeah, so just a quick reminder to callers now. If you have a question, press 0. We'll try to answer as many as we can. June in Rochester, New York, I understand you have a question about integrating with the community. Go ahead and ask that question. It'll be just a second. We're connecting with June right now in New York. You know, Maury, do you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about how the progress in or with the integration in the community is going?
Absolutely, and we thank June for that question. I hope she's still online to hear the answer. The college understands the importance of being involved in the community, probably for two reasons. One, we're a private residential liberal arts college. Residential is so important, important part of what we do. Students are on campus to learn not only during the day when they're taking classes, but they learn when they encounter faculty at halftime of a basketball game or during intermission of one of the plays. But if our faculty don't live in town, that kind of serendipitous learning doesn't occur. it's hard to persuade faculty to live in town if the town isn't thriving. Obviously, our faculty and our staff are going to have young children. They want health care. They want good education. They want a vibrant community. And so in our own self-interest, we have to make sure that the town is thriving. And then, of course, it's what our founders expected us to do. So we've got our students out in the community, working in the community. As I mentioned, the college is providing a good bit of the financing to build a new hotel in town. We know that's going to attract visitors to town. We're updating our equestrian center so that it can be used during the summer for horse shows, driving individuals to town. As we bring more and more of our students from out of state, they stay in town over the weekends. They spend money in town. We help stimulate the economy there. But I think the most important thing that we've done is we've made it a top priority. Although we're a national liberal arts college, we understand that towns like Albion are an important national resource. One of the phrases people use on campus is they say that if America is a river, towns like Albion are at the headwaters. And the headwaters of that river aren't very healthy around the country. What we've decided to do as a college is to put all of our intellectual horsepower into figuring out how to rebuild these wonderful industrial cities in a post-industrial America.
Awesome. Maury, switching gears a little bit, Nikki in Grand Ledge is wondering about job placement and job prep on campus. Nikki, go ahead and you're online with Maury right now. Nikki, are you there?
Yes.
You're live
yes.
right now with President Ditzler.
Hi, I'm wondering about the job placement from the freshmen through the seniors and also senior job placement.
Yes, you know, we're proud of our job placement. 97% of our graduates have a job or are in graduate school within 6 months of graduation. You know, we'd like to do 100% of that, and we're working in every way we can to make sure we work with students. But we're really pleased with that 97% number. It's a really strong number around the country.
Awesome. Maury, Joanna in Kirkwood, Missouri, is wondering about the situation in Mizzou and how you might handle that. Joanna, do you want to just ask that question? You're live with President Ditzler right now.
Yes. Good evening. I live in St. Louis, and we're very aware that the football team at the University of Missouri decided not to play football until the president resigned in their protesting his handling of racial problems on the campus. And I was just interested in your take on that and how you think you would want to handle a situation like that.
This fall, I've been really impressed with our students all across campus. They recognize that difficult things are happening all over America. Racial and ethnic issues are coming to the forefront, and they should. And our students ought to care about them. And they ought to also make certain that we on campus are open, we're inclusive, we're diverse. This is the most diverse incoming class we've had, you know, in recent memory. Maybe it's the most diverse class we've ever had in Albion College history. Our incoming class looks like America. And we need to make certain that we go beyond recruiting a diverse student body. We need to make them comfortable. We need to make them safe. We need to make certain that they have an excellent educational experience on campus. And no environment is perfect. No campus is perfect. And our students were not shy about telling us at the beginning of the semester things we needed to work on. And instead of arguing about it, our faculty and our staff ask for additional training. They work with students. I had students coming through my office with suggestions and requests. I talked to the Board of Trustees, very receptive about it. And so we've elevated some of the positions that deal with diversity issues on campus. We've moved the Director of Intercultural Affairs up to a cabinet-level position. She meets weekly with me. We certainly haven't solved every problem, and it'll take a very long time to do that. But what we've done is open lines of communication. We talked regularly with our students. On Friday night of this week, now Thursday night of this week, the leadership of our umbrella organizations, our organizations that think about issues of diversity on campus, are having dinner with me to reflect on the progress we've made this semester and talk about the progress we expect to make next semester. Certainly, none of us are smart enough to solve every problem, but we're not going to make any progress if we don't have open lines of communication. And I've been really pleased with the nature of the communication this fall on the Albion College campus.
Maury, we've got Dennis in East Lansing. I think he has might just have a quick message for you. Dennis, you are live right now with President Ditzler. Go ahead.
Hi, Dennis.
Well, this is Dennis Gawthorne in East Lansing. I just want to congratulate you, Mr. President. I think you've done a great job in reaching out to the Albion community and to the alumni, and I just wanted to express my personal appreciation. I think you and your team are doing a great job, and I congratulate you, and that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed meeting with you and some other alumni at your offices there in Lansing, and also having a drink in your restaurant up on Mackinac Island. So good to hear from you today.
So, Maury, we just had another question come in from Kate in Big Rapids, Michigan, talking about what we're doing to keep tuition affordable on campus. Kate, you're live. Go ahead and connect with President Ditzler.
Hello, President Ditzler. I'm also working in higher education, and I talk with a lot of students who are very concerned about their total cost of attending and going to degree completion. So I'm wondering what efforts you and the rest of the leadership team are taking to keep tuition and the total cost at a reasonable level for our current and our incoming students. And with that, are there any plans to lower those costs in the future?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge all of us at private colleges face. We try to offer a hands-on education. You know, a handcrafted education is going to be more expensive than something that's mass-produced. So the first thing we have to do is make certain that our product is top-notch. I talked to some students last night, and we talked about this concept that information or knowledge transfer is a commodity, meaning that that it's kind of interchangeable. You can get it on the Internet or you can get it from a mass lecture. And so if all you're doing is interchanging information, you need to do it more cheaply than anyone else. We have to make certain that we have a product that's worth the additional cost for the handcrafted education. But still, we need to make it available to every young person. We don't want to be educating just the wealthy young people in America. We need to make our product available across the board. We were really pleased with our efforts this year. I made a pledge to every student we recruited is that if Albion was their first choice, it would be possible for them to attend. Not easy, but possible. And then we sat down with our financial aid people, and I said, you've got to make certain I was telling the truth. So where necessary, we were more generous than we've been some years past in financial aid. We didn't shy away from asking young people to borrow money because this is a top-notch product. And our thought was, after 4 years of an education like this, if your debt level was less than 1 year's salary, that was a good investment. And so if a young person came from a family that had a single parent and that parent was working at minimum wage, they could afford to come to Albion College this year. And they could afford to come to Albion College this year. They had to take out, they had to do some work in the summertime. They had to take a work-study job, and they had to borrow some money, but not an unreasonable amount of money. And so we have an incoming class at Albion College that looks very much like America in many ways racially, but also in many ways in terms of the economic makeup of the class. Not easy, but to do that, we had to make certain that we're full. Right? If you're running an airline, you can't have the airplanes taken off half full. If you're running a college, you can't start the semester with your empty dormitories. And that was where we were struggling. That was one of the things that was pushing our cost up for the students who were here. We had too many empty seats in the classroom and too many empty dormitories. So we said we need to get our alumni out recruiting students, and we need to get our faculty talking to students because our alumni know the value of this product. Our faculty know the value of this product. And we got our alumni and faculty meeting with our prospective students. We started filling those classrooms, those dormitories up, and that lowers the cost per student.
Thank you, Maury. Liz in Grosse Pointe Farms is asking a little bit about some examples of the efforts we have ongoing to establish public-private partnerships. Liz, you're live with Maury. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening, President Zitzler. I am really impressed by the progress that the college is making, especially with your news earlier this evening about the incoming hotel. And as a member of the Urban Land Institute, I know that ULI really impresses upon its members the importance of those public-private partnerships. I was wondering if there were any other concrete examples you could give on how the college is reaching out to the public, especially given that there's always been a great relationship with the city of Albion, but it's always been economically challenging.
Yeah, you know, I'd be open to a quick suggestion before we talk about what we're doing. You know, obviously that you're familiar with some good programs there. What's a good best practice that you'd recommend?
Oh, well, now you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I got to put you on the spot, right? And it gives me a little bit of time to think.
You know, actually, I just finished up a leadership program, the Larson Center for Leadership in Metro Detroit, and I'm learning, much like you are, on the value of going after private businesses and the college being a private institution and working with the public sector to get grants. And now that the economy is recovering, this isn't just true in Michigan or a small town like Albion. It's true all around the country. So it was just something that came to mind. My eyes lit up when you said that there was a hotel coming to the downtown strip.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of things going on downtown. I took a team of folks from both the town and the college to meet with a gentleman who wrote a book called Boomtown USA. He wrote the book about 20 years ago. What he argued is the next big economic boom in America is going to come in the small rural communities of the Midwest. And what he argued is we have a quality of life that many people are interested in and many people will seek. And with the digital technology allowing people to live any place in the country and work in New York City or Paris or California, there are going to be individuals who say, I want to find a place that's got good schools and has safe streets and has a pristine river and has hiking trails, and that's where I want to raise my family. So one of the ways we're trying to attract a business to town is really attract people who live in town or are employed elsewhere. It's not essential that the business be located in town. It's essential that the jobs be located in town. And to do that, we need to think about quality of life. And that's why our faculty and our staff find it so important to work on issues of racial harmony in town. We're thinking very hard right now about how to improve the K-12 education in town. We've got to work to find a model that brings health care back into small communities like this one. And as we do that, I'm convinced that people will recognize the quality of a town like Albion. And while they may not locate their business here, they can locate their employees here. But a really great question and thing that we're thinking a lot about and we need to think more about.
President Zitzler, we have Dr. Noble on the phone from Georgia asking about students working on campus. Dr. Noble, go ahead.
Hi,
Hello,
Gary.
Murray. First, I want to echo the comments about your vision, your leadership, and your passion for doing what you're doing. The question really was fairly simple. What are the opportunities for any students to gain scholarships while on campus? As a student, I had a small scholarship named after one of the donors, an alumnus, and I also had the opportunity to make some small amounts of money working in the laboratory as an assistant or even something as mundane as cleaning blackboards. I know you don't have blackboards anymore.
You know, those work-study jobs are great on campus. We're also, we've had some donors, maybe a whole classes of donors have got together and created internship opportunities for our students to work in the business in town, helping build business plans and doing surveys, working for the city of Albion. They can do that they as a work-study job. They're paid. They're employed to do that. It also helps revitalize our community. We have a number of very generous scholarships. Some of our best and brightest students are on full tuition scholarships. But our commitment isn't just to the best and brightest. It also, as we said earlier, our commitment to every student is if you're accepted at this college and this is your first choice, we want to make it possible to attend. So a great deal of our annual fund donations go to need-based scholarships, $50,000 a year. is an expensive bill for almost every young person in America. And so it's important for people to know that we have those need-based scholarships, and almost all of our students apply for either a merit-based or a need-based scholarship. So it's not unusual for a student to have $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, or even $30,000 in scholarships. But I also like your note that it's not just the scholarship, it's the opportunity to work on campus. And we find that students who are working on campus are more likely to be retained and they're more likely to graduate because they have that quality interaction with an adult, whether it's the librarian or whether or not it's the biology professor they work with or whether or not it's our city manager. Gary, we appreciate the support that you've given to our college. As we mentioned earlier, you've helped us bring one of our living units back online, and with another big incoming class, we're going to need that in the fall.
You know, President Ditzler, speaking of living units, we have a class or a question from Andy in Chicago about the requirement or the importance of students living on campus. Andy, you're live with President Ditzler. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Andy.
Hi, President Ditzler. My question was, I was hearing about the hotel and the Ford Institute relocating downtown, and I think that's great. What, how feasible is it, and are there any plans to allow more students to live in town and, via that way, contribute economically to the town and get an experience that might be a little bit different than living on campus?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we hear that a lot. It's one of those things where you can argue either side of the coin. Students like to learn to live independently. They like to give out in the move out in the community and rent an apartment. On the other hand, we find the living learning community so valuable. If there were only first and second year students living on campus and the juniors and seniors lived off campus, it would not be as rich a learning experience for our first year students. They need to be mentored by and talk to and interact with students who have grown in their intellectual abilities. One of the things that I like to do is get groups of students together and ask them really tough questions. And I like to do that around the fireplace in the president's house here in town. And there will be a mix of juniors and seniors who will listen to those tough questions, and they'll know the answers immediately. And you'll see in the eyes of the first-year students thinking, where on earth did they figure that out? And you watch that interaction as people look up to the juniors and seniors. And so I've always thought it very important that we be a residential campus, and that residential campus include faculty and staff and first and second and third and fourth year students. And so that's one of the things that we're pushing for. And it's one of the reasons that as a part of our scholarship package, we make sure that they're generous enough so that students can afford to live on campus. They say, well, I would save money if I lived off campus. I could cook for myself. One of the things we do is we roll into the scholarship package an understanding that it is more expensive to live on campus, but we want them to have that time to focus not so much on cooking but on studying, but we also want them to make sure that they stay on campus and eat in that cafeteria so they're talking to students who they might not normally meet. We talk about the value of diversity, and it really is important that we have students come from all over the world to study here, and that we have students of all religions, and we have students with racial diversity on campus. But if our students don't live together, if our students find their three best friends and live off campus, they're going to miss a lot of that diversity. So we go back and forth on that. What we certainly want to do is make certain that this campus housing that we have integrate into the community. So as we think about building new living units and maybe at some time building new fraternity and sorority houses, our intent would be to move those towards downtown so that we integrate our campus with the downtown, not only in a place to study, but also a place to live. Thanks, Andy.
President Ditzler, we have Jess Womack in California asking about our recruitment efforts. It may be a good one for you and Steve to tackle together. Jess, you're live with President Ditzler. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jess. It's good to hear from you again. It's good to have you on campus. Not all that long ago at homecoming, you gave us some really inspirational message. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I would like to say what someone else said. I'd like to congratulate you on all the energy and good thinking that you guys are putting into revitalizing the college efforts. As you well know, I have had a long interest in making inroads into California for a recruiting base, and I know we had some success this year, I'm not certain I know the full extent of it, and I was curious as to whether you could share with us how many students you got from California and what kind of efforts are you being made to further exploit whatever efforts are available, opportunities are available in this really diverse and large market.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this to Steve Klein, but you know, we appreciate the work you're doing out in California. I know that you're working with a lot of the schools in Los Angeles area, making sure that you're working in some of the underprivileged, underrepresented communities, making sure those young people are getting great educations. And we think we're going to have a bunch of those kids at Albion College this coming year. We made some inroads last year, and then we invited 20 counselors from California to fly out and visit our campus. And my goodness, that paid such great dividends. Steve, what kind of response are we getting from California this year?
Well, we've had a great response. Our recruiter was out there for 4 weeks. That's a lot of time far away from Michigan, but she had great success. Talked to over 400 young men and women in high schools, north, central, and southern California. And we're very excited about getting them to campus to visit. I'm told that most of the UC schools have application deadlines of December 1st, and so that most of our California applications will be coming in at about that same time. So I'm real excited to be seeing what comes in the mail, so to speak, over the next week to 10 days from California. I think those 20 counselors that Maury talked about visiting this summer have been really helpful. I think last year we got about 10 students from California. I wouldn't be surprised if we doubled that this year.
Jess, Steve talked a little bit earlier about how important it is for alumni to refer a student. It lets that student know that there is a contact. Someone knows them, thinks that they're a good fit for the institution. I think you probably know 100 or 200 students there in California. You could swamp our referral system by hitting that button tonight. Good to hear from you. You know, we're running short on the time that we scheduled. If some of you are interested in staying online just a few more minutes, I think that that we paid the phone bill. They're not going to cut off our line, so we can take another question or two.
Yeah, I think we've got time for two more quick questions. Steve in Cleveland was just on campus for a pre-med talk and just wanted to share something that struck him. Go ahead, Steve. You're live with President Ditzler.
Yeah, hi. This is Steve Kerbitz from the Cleveland, Ohio area. I was on campus about a month ago to give a talk to the Health Professions Institute, and I'm an alumnus from 1980 in the biology department, and one of the things that I was really struck with as I talked with the junior level and mid-level faculty in the biological sciences programs is the extent to which they're now able to be actively engaged in research. And so Albion has provided them with space and with infrastructure, equipment, et cetera, and with some operating money to launch and support research programs. And I simply wanted to comment that I think this is one of the most important and encouraging developments that I can think of in the considerable time since I've been at Albion.
Let me say I appreciate that comment quite a lot. One of the things when I talk to individuals is say that, you know, I've been around colleges like this since 1971, and probably the biggest transition, at least in science education, has been that focus on getting students into the laboratory doing research side by side with the faculty member. There aren't very many things in this world that always work, but undergraduate research always does. Every place I've been, every school I've visited, if faculty work with students, they inspire students, they get excited about the discovery process. You know, as I like to tell our young people, there are probably two things they're going to get out of a liberal arts education that they wouldn't get anyplace else. One of them is they're going to be prepared to be citizens in a democracy, and the other is they're going to learn how to invent knowledge. And one great place to learn to invent knowledge is in that undergraduate research lab. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, the students loved that talk. We, you know, filled up that big lecture hall. We don't fill up lecture halls very often because that's not the way we teach. But but when we get a graduate back, the students are anxious to come out and hear and got really good reports out of that talk.
Before we go to our last question, I just wanted to let everybody know that, first, we've appreciated everybody so much. And if you have questions that we're not able to get to tonight, if you stay on the line after we wrap up and follow the prompts, you'll be able to leave a voicemail, and we'll follow up with you over the next couple of days. Or if you'd like to send an email to communications with an S at lbn.edu, is another way to get your question in. But President Ditzler, Dr. Bull in Madison, Wisconsin is asking a question. Oh, I'm sorry, Madison, New Jersey is asking a question about, intentional interdependence between students as a way of learning. Dr. Bull, you're live with Dr. Ditzler.
Thank you very much. It really more has to do with the continuing concern about international interdependence and having international students on campus but sending our students abroad. Is so necessary, as these students are going to face a very different dynamics in the world than any of us have in the past. And I hope that's being addressed throughout the curriculum.
Our faculty certainly are interested in getting students to study abroad, both in the semester-long programs, but one of the things I have also really appreciated is shorter programs where faculty at the end of the course will take students abroad, take students to sites that are follow-up on what they've covered in the course. We certainly have geared up our international recruiting. We added an international recruiter last year. We got that program off the ground. We had about 15 international students from 8 countries. We're hoping to double that number per class. And, when you double that number per class, you're pushing as many as 100 international students on campus. We're excited by the interaction. Since I talked to a really delightful young man from Kosovo last night, talked to me about his experience on campus. Unlike many of our international students, he was used to weather just as cold as Michigan, but talked about the way in which he is interacting, making friends, building on the future. Albion as a community has had a sister city relationship for a long time, and that sister city relationship was something that our faculty got to know because their children were traveling abroad because of programs that were in our community and in our local school systems. And they got inspired about travel abroad and studying abroad because of that. And we talked about that as a driving force at Albion College, and it was sufficiently unusual and sufficiently successful that last year Albion won the Paul Simon Spotlight Award as a national award for study abroad programs. Not as big a program as we'd like, and not as many students as we'd like, but it's something we're working on very hard. Thanks for the question.
Well, I've had a lot of fun. I hope everybody who's joined us has. Any final comments from you, President Ditzler, or Steve or Matt?
Well, Steve and Matt, why don't you have a few comments, and then I'm going to close with an appeal.
Well, as some of you may, this is Steve Klein, as some of you may know, recruiting high school students to college has become a two-and-a-half-year, at least a two-and-a-half-year endeavor. We reach out to students as early as their sophomore year in high school, so I would just, again, encourage you to look at the people you know. A lot of them have teenagers or no teenagers, or you may have direct contact with high school students, and there's no such thing as referring somebody too early. We'd love to get in touch with them and start sharing the news about the great opportunities that are available to them at Albion College, and you can do that through our website.
I'll just comment and say that all of us in athletics and all of us on campus really appreciate the support from alumni and friends to the institution. All of our students really benefit from that. It allows us to make a difference in the lives of young people that are on campus, and hopefully we continue to conduct ourselves in a manner.
Athletics. I guess I was on mute. I guess I need to unmute myself for a sec there. Really appreciate all the support that we get from all of you. our alumni and friends to the institution. Our students appreciate that. It allows us to make a difference in their lives and help them prepare for the future, which is why we're here. And I know in athletics we strive every day to conduct ourselves in a manner that makes you proud to wear that Albion College sweatshirt when you're at home or at work or wherever you are. So I always like this part of my job. I usually get to end with a solid Go Brits. So Go Brits to all of you, and I'll hand it off to Maury.
Thanks so much, Matt. Important part of what we do at Albion College is we teach students to integrate all aspects of their life, and so integrate what they're learning on the field with what they're learning in the classroom is what we're all about. My final thought is keep the faith. There's a lot of tough problems out there in the world, but at Albion College we have idealistic, audacious young people who are picking up the tools that are going to allow them to get out there and make a difference in the world. And they do that because you support us. You support us by sending us students and by sending us your gifts. And we thank you for both of them. And tonight, if after the phone call, if you go on albion.edu, you can find an opportunity to give a gift or to refer a student. We hope you'll think about both. Thanks so much.